Popular Education, called Training for Transformation. My name is Maria Hamlin Zuniga. And I was born in Minnesota, but I've been working in Central America for the last 25 years in the field of health education. Excuse me, in popular education. And I want to explain to you a little bit about what it is, and then we're going to do some. Okay? That sound okay?
We'll see.
Okay. Well, there's a current in adult education that's called popular education. And really, the idea comes a little bit out of liberation theology. The idea of popular is where we put priority on working with the poor and marginal people, that in our countries of the third world are really the vast majority of people. And it's an alternative. Most of the education that is traditional education that's done in the first world countries or the dominating countries of the world is a kind of education that we call banker's education. And if you just think back on how your education was in your schools, you had a teacher who gave you lots of information that you had to learn. And why did you have to learn it?
Tests.
Because there were tests. So what you did is you received this information and you gave it back on your test. And when you start thinking about how much of all that do you really remember?
Or care
about remembering. I don't remember all those chemistry formulas that I learned because I don't have to use them every day. No? And I don't remember all those dates from history, except when they become real to me in the kind of work that I'm doing. Well, I said that this really developed out of Latin America and out of liberation theology. In the 60s, there was a man in Brazil, and his name is Paulo Freire. And he started talking and working with marginal communities. Now, it's hard for me to say marginal, because when marginal people are the vast majority, it doesn't seem to me like they're marginal. It seems like they're there, and they're the most important and the most vast populations. Well, Paulo worked with these communities, and he developed a kind of education where people were participating in their educational process. And people learned to read and write by discussing issues that were important to them in their neighborhoods and in their rural areas. And the idea was not just to be filled with knowledge, but that by examining our situation, we come to some alternatives to bring about change in our communities. And that's why I say that it's an alternative that's consistent with social justice. We're going to look at some characteristics of popular education. The starting point in popular education are the concrete experiences of the learner. But who is the learner? All of us are learners, and all of us are teachers, because we all bring something from our own experiences that are important. And I think of my own experience of working with peasant people in Central America. Well, how was I to know all the things that the peasant would know about the seasons and when to plant and when to weed and when to pray? And there are so many things that we can learn from one another. If I work with urban people who have to survive in a situation of extreme poverty, there are things that I have to learn from them in order to do the kind of work that I do in health education. I had to learn from the midwives. The midwives are the ancient carriers of the knowledge about birth and birthing. And so to work with those midwives, to help them improve nothing more but their hygienic practices, I had to know what they could teach me first. So everyone teaches and everyone learns. And that means that there's a lot of participation, because everyone has something to give. Another characteristic is that it leads to action. Action for change. And Paulo Freire said that the whole idea of popular education was reflection, action, and then reflection. Okay? And it's a circle. I'm spelling two ways. You'll see. Mm-hmm. The reason I did this ahead of time is because I'm used to speaking and writing in Spanish. And so a lot of words I spell wrong. So, the other characteristic is that it's a collective effort. It's something that we do together to find solutions as a group. Most of our education has been very individual. Yes, we're in classrooms, but many times those classrooms are very competitive, and we're trying to get good grades. Maybe we want to go on to medical school, no? And we have to have really good grades. And so there's a lot of competition, and there's not a lot of working together to solve problems. But popular education is that. It's a collective effort. And it stresses the creation of new knowledge. It just doesn't depend on what the past was, what the history was, what everybody knows, but working together, how can we create new ways of doing things, a new understanding. The process is an ongoing process. That's what process means, movement. And it can take place at any time, in any place, with any age group. And the best part of it is that it's fun. So we're going to do something today. We're going to do what is called sculpturing, okay? And we're going to do this together, and I'm going to explain, first of all, what the process is so that you'll understand. We're going to have a theme. I'll tell you what it is in a little bit. And we're going to work around this theme, and we're going to have somebody be volunteer to be the first sculptor, and that person's raw materials are the rest of you, okay? And the first sculptor will work with the raw material and try to communicate an idea, one idea, not the whole idea of the concept of the theme that we're going to be dealing with. And then, after that person explains what their idea is to all of us, maybe the sculptor uses one or two people, maybe all of us will be in the sculpture. Then somebody else will come out of the sculptor or out of the group here and continue to develop the idea until we have consensus about what this, if what we have built together really conveys what we want to say about the theme. Okay? Then somebody in the group will try to give us a summary, thank you. We'll summarize what this means, and then we'll go immediately into another idea. And we're going to do two sculptures today, okay? And then we will have a discussion about the theme and about the process. How does that sound? You all game set up for this?
Sure.
Okay, we'll have to push the chairs back a little bit. You can shut it off now. Okay, now let us go to the third step. We have the theme, we did the sculpturing, and now we're going to discuss it. First of all, let's discuss what we learned. What we learned about ourselves, what we learned about our understanding of these words. Let's talk about the theme.
About the what?
The theme.
Okay.
One thing I noticed, not in our discussion, but about our discussion, is that for us, the last 20 or 30, probably only about 20 years, the discussion about discovery has turned very negative. Mm-hmm. That I'm not so old, but when I was in school, and even I think probably when Dave, who was my student 1 year ago, was in school, that still we were trained up to think about discovery as a very glorious thing, and that in our national and international discussions, now discovery is always, not scientific discovery, but discovery of European discovery of the rest of the world is always linked in discussion with conquest, that we now understand those terms very differently, and our discussion reflected only the last, the newest part of our discussion, so that we've really, in our mind, we have replaced the old glorious image with this new one, and that our whole discussion is all, we have learned something in the last however many years since we were in school and thought Christopher Columbus was the epitome of a very exciting time for everybody. And I think of it as the beginning of a bad time, kind of. Mm-hmm. But our sculpture reflected that.
Well, if I understand your character, this is a method of teaching, is that correct? Then apparently the choice of words that you used and the model or the sculpture that we made centered around those three things. And so what we must have learned was that different people have different concepts of that and different definitions of those words. One of the questions I have was the religious overtone that got into the conversation a part of our being here? Mm-hmm. I can't believe that that would normally get into any kind of a conversation with a group of people. I shouldn't say any group, but generally those three words with a group of people somewhere else wouldn't necessarily have a religious overtone, I wouldn't think. And I can only assume that mm-hmm. it did here because we're all here because of this environment. And apparently when you teach, you just pick different words and see what people think and how they react to that. And from there, build upon that as the direction you need to take to educate, I guess. Is that what's happening?
No, you're attributing to her being the teacher and really directing it, wow. Which I don't think is, she's not gathering information in order to know where to teach. I mean, there's some of that because, you know, the health working.
Well, she's giving some direction.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
no, but I don't want to discuss the process yet. I want to discuss the theme. We'll get to the process, okay? So we'll get there. But first, let's talk about the theme, like you did, and you did say something. Do you all agree with him? If this would have been a different group, would religion not have come into it?
I want to disagree. Actually,
no, I don't think
that we associate, especially since we. We're thinking of the quincentennial and the Spanish, the arrival of the missionaries is part of, I think, our the popular image that I don't think that's unique to Holden Village that people would think of the.
If you're doing with a bunch of scientists, do you think you'd get that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the popular image of, like, just from movies, you know, the mission that play in the fish. And, yeah, even in North America, we think of the pilgrims. And,
yeah, a lot of movies.
You wanted to say something?
Well, there's a very good book up here in the library about the Japanese and missionaries and the Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Shusaki Endo's book, yes. The Silence, is excellent. And the church worked its way in too, and it was fine if all they were doing religion, but that isn't what they were doing. They built schools and they started in doing all other kinds of things, and the Japanese just said out, period. And I don't know, after the church was behind a lot of this, the Roman Catholic Church was behind a lot of.
I think a lot of people who are real scientific would be the first ones to jump on that idea mm-hmm. of the negative effects of the church, the negative role of the church. We have friends who are, I'd say, are, I don't know if they're atheists or agnostics or what they are, but they're definitely not Christian. And boy, they're the first to point out failings of the church.
So they might point out more negatively than we did.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The last image of the angel might be something that was missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That probably would be it.
I would think that someone would try to put in hope in some form, which is a spiritual idea, whether it's an angel or what it is.
I think a lot of people don't have much hope.
Mm-hmm. I have the feeling we're not discussing what you want discussed about the sculpture.
Why do you feel that way?
Pardon?
Why?
Well, I assume that in any early experience, something's supposed to come out of this which will cause us to understand better the relations of people and what thoughts they have and feelings and so forth. I don't know.
Well, does somebody want to respond to him?
This is not an education.
I would like to suggest, sir, that you might be going by the old model and wanting something out of it, something informational, something that you can take away with you.
Well, if we're in an educational situation, we must be here to learn a way of teaching and what happens and the response that people have or something. We're not just here to visit them.
Well, I think that's exactly what you're doing. We're finding out our perceptions, found a lot out about our perceptions while we're making the sculptures and now talking about it.
I think
I agree with you. And I think it's partly to do with our age. I hate to say it. But but I think what we're contributing are just ideas we already have. Our own prejudices, our own ideas we brought to that sculpture. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody brought anything new, particularly new to them, or saw anything new to them. Unless I'm wrong. I might be wrong, but I don't think so.
But learning can be through reinforcing, too.
Well, that would definitely be true.
I was surprised that a lot of people here had some of the same ideas. I was surprised that, I guess my impression has been that we still do celebrate Columbus Day. Mm-hmm. I work for the Indian Health Service mm-hmm. and try and explain that holiday. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's listen to everybody. I want to hear what everybody has to say. You can respond to him, but let us all hear, okay?
He said that he thinks we do still celebrate Columbus Day and that, and I think that is true. I think I'm talking about particular kinds of discussions. I just came from an academic conference on, I do some stuff with Western American women's history, and I just came from a conference where every second session was mentioning the fact that this is the quincentennial year, and we'll have all these official celebrations of the discovery of Columbus, and we should always remember that it really means this. So that it probably depends a little bit, different discussions are happening in different places, but sort of books that come out now and so on are critiques, I think, more than. A children's book now even will be sort of careful about how it presents things a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think this, I don't know if this has anything to do with the sculpture exactly, but I think that discovery is just always going to be, if in the mind of the human being is never satisfied until it reaches out for something new and different. And so the discovery was going to take place at some point in history, just by the way humans are. And I don't think, I guess I'm different in my feeling. I don't think that was negative. It's the bad part of people that was negative. And also overpopulation isn't, because one group of people were used as basically slaves or exploited by another that had a certain level of living and then exploited other people. But the discovery itself, I think, is wonderful and exciting, and I mean, it's like going into outer space. I mean, that's what it must have been the equivalent of when they discovered the new world. There's nothing negative, I think, to me about that. The bad things that were done were the bad faults of the human race.
But Tina, the question.
Yes, left.
Okay. Going from discovery to conquest. They are two very different words. And I think in our sculpture, we didn't bring in measles and syphilis and all the other diseases that killed people. And we also didn't bring in our our entire culture. The idea that we feel that we can buy land and own things and own stuff, that was a new concept.
And I'd like to just ask the group, and we maybe not even can answer it, but what a learning that I would like to come out of these doing the sculpture is, could, yes, discovery was a good thing, but could the two cultures have coexisted? Have we even tried and put every effort into coexisting with the Native Americans? Would it have been possible for these two radically different cultures to coexist? And then what would have happened? So you glorified discovery. Well, then should the white culture have left?
Well, I think I really honestly feel that a lot of these problems are just because of the masses of people that build up. Whereas people touch, for example, for the American Indian to live the way he lived 200 years ago is now impossible, and because of land. The land is all, you know, there are too many of us basically for that lifestyle. And a lot of cultures are imposing on each other because of the fact that there are just so darn many of us.
So are you saying that the impetus for the Spaniards and the English and everyone coming over was overpopulation in Europe?
No, not originally. No, I'm saying it in the present time.
But what were the reasons for Columbus leaving Spain? What was his intention?
Discover the new world?
What was the intention originally?
Commerce. To find markets and get goods. To find markets and get goods. He was looking for routes to go ways. Mm-hmm. Ways to get things and places to sell things.
That's nothing new. I mean, look at all the importing. I mean, everybody here probably has on something from another country. I mean, there's a...
But his impulse was not to see something exciting, but to find a commercial route.
Yeah. But I'm sure he was certainly an adventurous man. I mean, these guys that climb up to, you know, these high peaks, they're different. I mean, they want to do that really badly. Not all of us have that urge.
Okay. I want to say something about discovery and conquest, more about how we link those two terms and if we can. In some ways I think it is, there are some negative things just about the way that we talk about discovery. Maybe not negative, but there's some things, loaded things the discovery of America is a very Eurocentric, I mean, it's very centered on the European point of view that it's sort of like it didn't really exist until it was seen. It had to be uncovered and discovered. And the only story that we tell or have told or have been interested in is what we did here. I mean, as somebody who does some history, it's very hard to go and try to find out what the Native people in Wyoming and Washington and Oregon and Idaho and thought about giving up, you know, by having all these people coming across the wagon trains. You can find out almost everything you want to know, and that's more or less what I do. And I think it's a lot of fun, about what the people in the wagon trains thought, because we have kept all that history and it's been our point of view. But we have a very difficult time even recovering things when we have not only, we've destroyed a lot. and so the even discovery is a sort of pointed word. It stands in one place and you find something, but there's something out there that got found and we don't know as much.
That's something I realized in the sculpture too. I don't understand really well enough to place people on either side. You know, the Spaniards or the other Europeans, I know more about where they were coming from, but not much either. I mean, we're so far removed from that point there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I see something coming together as we talk, and that is that I think we all agree that discovery has a joyous part of it, and maybe we can look at this situation and say, is there something that we could have been done so that the outcome could have been better for the conquest? And we're continually discovering things in life and in science and so on. Can we apply those ideas so that things can end up more joyously?
I just finished a backpack trip, and whenever you're out there, you always think you're just discovering things all the time. You know, every time you cross a peak or make a pass, and that part of discovery is very joyful. That you kind of feel like there, you know, you feel like you're the first person to have seen this, and it's really fabulous. And even though you know you're not, it's really wonderful. But so there is that really wonderful part about discovery too. It's very exciting.
What do you think we would do if one of our spaceships found a planet with beings on it?
I fear for them.
For whom?
The beings on the planet.
When our sculpture multiplied so quickly around the discovery, mm-hmm. It's like you say, when we go out and discover something on a backpack trip, it's very easy to destroy that by continually discovering it over and over again, you know, pristine areas. Yeah. I think that there's an analogy with that. Mm-hmm.
There is also a kind of ownership thing that takes over almost immediately. You really don't want to see anybody else up on the
like
you know,
first,
you really hope you're
getting
there. Like ownership.
Like the first thing we did on the moon. The first thing we did on the moon was plant an American flag. Now who cares? And I like your question. Because
I've read some science fiction, not a lot, but The Martian Chronicles was one that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed. And we did there in this story what they were fighting on Earth, and it was no longer livable on Earth, so they moved to Mars, and it just made it, you know, another big mess.
And will we eventually?
But I wonder. I don't know.
Well, now let me ask you another question. I think you have some things to think about there. I think it's interesting that everybody talks about the discovery from the European point of view. Don't you think that the native peoples discovered something? They discovered something too. They discovered that these other people
mm-hmm. were very different.
We're very different from them. Mm-hmm. We have to look at times from the other point of view. And there are Latin Americans who say the real discovery was that. Latin Americans saying that the native peoples of the Americas discovered what kind of people the Spanish were. Mm-hmm. That brought their arms, no, their weapons, and brought the cross to defend and be the ideological justification for the conquest, when in truth what the conquest was about was finding riches, no, to sustain and help to build the Spanish Empire. And what they took away from the Americas was more gold and silver and wealth than was in all of the treasuries of Europe at the time. And I invite you to read in the other room, on the wall, things about the conquest. No? But now let's look at the process. How did you feel about what we did? Not what it was, but what we were doing. How did you feel about that?
I was pretty negative, to be real honest. But as it all worked out, I thought it was a good way to start discussion. But I guess I'm more the type that just likes to sit down and not do anything. So I'm sort of a passive learner, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked that we were moving around and that we were interacting physically in the room.
Yeah, well, I think younger people are more used to that, too. I think you do a lot more of that kind of thing. I've seen, you know, in youth groups, mm-hmm. and they do building of pyramids. things that we never did, you know, as a kid. You know,
I thought that it visualized the different parts and the different reasons and the different responses. And we had, each time we had the native peoples, there were different responses and there were different reasons for the invasion that showed up, that I thought, very well, and made a picture in my mind that I can take with me. It's not so, so conceptual.
But getting back to, what was your question?
I wanted to know how you felt about the process of being involved in doing this.
In doing this sculpture?
Yes.
Not in the discussion?
Not in the discussion. Well, or the discussion of problems.
Well, it included the body in the learning, which has been very excluded in the Americas. You know, our learning has been neck up. And this was very, very physical and profound for me. My body was able to express its thoughts. Heretofore, I have been unable to do that.
Mm-hmm. It helped to focus me on, keep me focused on what was going on rather than sort of daydreaming, thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Also, it was movable. We had our concepts out here, and then it wasn't just that there. If you had something you wanted to change or add, you could, you know, do that.
I think, as a teacher, I was glad to do it because sometimes I help my students often read Paulo Freire a little, and we talk about some things, and I realized, as somebody sitting in this group that was going to get called on to do this, that I only know one person in this room, and I wasn't, and I've only been in the village a few hours, and I'm glad that these are a little bit, to be honest, concepts. They're a little out there. We can intellectualize about a little bit, because I wouldn't want to ask somebody to do, when we don't know each other better, to do this until they do. You know, it's one way to get to know people, I guess. But I think it's a little, it's a very, you know, you have to be, I think, you know, it was nice to have something that didn't necessarily have to come out of us right away. It could come to us to do.
Okay. Now, because we're limited for time, I just want to say how we can use this. There are different ways. One is to find out what people know about a theme. Another is to evaluate what kind of learning is taking place. It can be done after you work through a theme, work through a class. Another way is sharing information. We shared information here, didn't we? When we think of the whole process, I'm not just talking about what we did, but the discussion that followed the sculpture. We can identify gaps in our knowledge and understanding, and I think that I would hope that that happened here. We can help to empower people. I don't know what your name is, I'm sorry.
Carol.
But what she was talking about was empowerment. That she hadn't been able to do that, that her learning was from the neck up, and she became physically involved. And that's the first time she's done that, she said. That's good. And then it can help put together a common analysis of a theme. And in that common analysis, it isn't necessarily that we all agree, that we all come to it from the same ideological point of view, but we can develop a common awareness. And the important thing is, we've reflected on this, how are we going to act upon it? All of you, in some way or other, all of us, will be involved this year in these so-called celebrations, what we like to call commemorations. And perhaps you can bring to those moments something that comes out of this reflection, comes out of your sculpture. And that is learning.
Now, can I ask you a question? Now, do you use this in Nicaragua, right? Do you use this technique with people?
Yes.
You do? And they go along with it?
Oh, of course they do. Mm-hmm.
They like it?
Well, yeah. Remember,
can you give me an example of a time, a topic that you've used in and done sculpture with the group?
Well, we've used this. we've used this, but of course my field is health. Health does have to do with this, of course, you know, if we think of health in a very broad way. But, you know,
Do men do it? Would men do it?
Oh, yes, men do it. Yeah. But remember that we're talking about people, when we're talking about adult education in particular, we're talking about people who haven't gone through a formal system. And you said something about the women who are across on the wagon trains and have their things written, but remember that most of our Indian peoples have an oral tradition that's passed down from one generation to another. And how is it carried out? In what ways? How is this?
Stories.
Stories. What else?
Songs.
Songs. Dance. There's lots of music. There's song. Art. There's dance. There's art. And that's what we use. We make use of all the ways, the cultural expressions of people to bring about understanding and learning. So a lot of our work is with art and music and drama.
But I'm talking about this.
Yes, but this is art. We're sculpturing.
Okay, but now I want you to tell me what you've used this technique, what topic, and how they did their sculpture.
Well, I've done this in lots of ways, but I can tell you, for example, we've done analysis with people who come to Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. People like you who will come to visit Nicaragua and have them sculpture how the media portrays Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And then what was their, on the switch side, what was their experience? What did they learn through their visit to Nicaragua? And how, we want action, don't we? We want action. So how can we together and bring about something that will change the way the media treats Nicaragua? That would be a concrete example.
Okay.
I'm sorry that we have to end, but thank you very much. If anybody wants to talk more about it, I'll be glad to share with you.
Well, I just would like to do this with my youth group. Columbus anniversary, I'm going to do this with my youth group. Exact same thing. They're introduced to them.
Actually, I have to say that when I teach in Catholic level, I'm having answers
in my room.
They bring quite the education in sitting in their seats.
Reading books wasn't a job.
I know that there are more things happening here. But usually, at these years, I think it happens among my students. That they think of it as something that comes at 48 today.
Yeah.
Oh, so once you can read, you should quit.
Okay, well, because
I don't have experience. That's right. It's once you know. And you should get down to learning what you need to learn as you move.
Yeah, right.
What do they say when they leave your classroom?
They still are doing it. They have some, actually, the main thing, I think, is the difference between
us and the world. What happened?
People learn without knowing they're learning too.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
I think it's fun.
You speak Spanish too? Where did you learn?
In Mexico and Ecuador.